Hello, welcome to Sorted Food. This is Chefs versus the Internet, and today it's all about carbonara. Representing the chefs here at Sorted, it's Ben Ebbers Ebrill. And today, representing the community on Reddit, it's our most normal of normals, Barry.
I'll take it as a compliment.
They're each going to knock up a recipe using the tips that they've collated, and then our other normal, Mike, is going to blind taste test both to see which one he prefers. Boys, start cooking in 3, 2, 1, carbonara.
I'm going to start with the thing that stood out most to me in the Reddit comments was the choice of meat. Usually at home I would just use pancetta. Apparently, guanciale is where it's at. It's traditional, it's cured pork cheek, and it's already coated in some delicious pepper, so it has all the flavours necessary to make the ultimate carbonara. I'm going to cut a sliver of it and chop it into big chunks into a cold pan and let the fats render.
The internet and the Reddit community absolutely nailed the tradition. So I'm breaking a few rules to show you how in the UK, at Sorted, we can get pretty much 95% of the way there with a few cheats. That said, pancetta is another cured pork belly that is often used in Italy and can be used for carbonara. It's just that the guanciale, the jowl, is probably more traditional.
So from the off, you're splitting off in different directions.
Look at that! This is why it's so important to render down, and that's why you don't need any oil in the pan to start off with, because, well, look at that.
So whilst the difference of cured pork product is a thing in my recipe, I'm actually starting with one of the spices, the black pepper, one of the key ingredients in a carbonara. I'm taking black peppercorns and I'm just toasting and roasting them off in a dry pan, at which point I will grind them up. Black pepper was like an iconic spice in the Roman Empire, and it's the reason that the dish from Rome is also side by side with something like cacio e pepe.
Okay, time to get my pasta on the go. Hot water into a pan with a ton of salt. I think it's about 10 grams per litre is what you need in there. The other tip I got was to warm up your bowl at this point with some hot water as well, because a warm bowl is important, because when you put the sauce into it later on, you don't just seize up in a cold bowl.
Oh, good tip.
Not mine, theirs.
In the chef's corner, also agree a warm plate is important. We got a plate warmer.
Oh! Not all of us have plate warmers at home, Ben, or Argers.
Barry, are they paper clips?
This is where Reddit surprised me again. I thought carbonara had like relatively normal spaghetti in it. But apparently not. You need spaghettino, which is really long pasta. So that'll be normal pasta. That's spaghettino. You want the pasta to get coated in an amazing sauce, and you want the slurp to be the longest slurp you've ever had.
This is proper Lady and the Tramp pasta.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Like Barry, I'm also adding my pork pieces into a relatively low heat pan and gently bringing it up. How long are you cooking your pasta for?
About 7 minutes, but to be honest, again, never cook it, just until al dente.
About 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I heard that, yeah.
But I'm not putting a timer on. I just know when pasta's done. Onto the sauce. I'm going for 2 eggs and 1 egg yolk for extra creaminess. And again, use the finest eggs you can get, because you want that vibrant yellow colour as well.
Ebbers, what are you doing with your eggs? Freezing them?
I know it's getting a bit late in life. So, so I'm also using 3 eggs for my double portion of pasta. I'm doing 2 egg yolks and 1 egg. So a really subtle difference. For me, if you go just egg yolk, it can be quite a claggy result. So by adding in the whole egg, it is looser. So that we can focus on the subtle differences in method between the two, I'm going to let Barry crack on with his, then I'll do mine. But in the meantime, I'm going to grate 2 different cheeses, pecorino and parmesan, equal quantity of each, into my eggs and whisk it up.
My sauce is ready to go. I've got my pecorino, romano, and my eggs and black pepper in there mixed up. I've drained some of the fat from my guanciale into a bowl. I'm going to add a little bit of that fat into my egg mix. And I'm also going to try to melt my parmesan very slightly over the bain marie, isn't it, really? Over this for a little bit before I take my pasta out. I want it to break off as I pinch it. When I bite it, I have a slight bite. the pasta done, out of the water. Doesn't matter if you carry some of that water over into the pan. And this pan has been off the heat as well for the last minute or so, so it's cooling down, it's not piping hot.
So no colander, you're not draining the pasta?
No. The water is a good thing. It helps loosen up the sauce later on. And I can always add a bit more water later on as well. Mixy, mixy, mixy. The other tip, people are screaming at me saying, do not put it in a hot pan, otherwise it definitely will scramble. So you want to let it cool down ever so slightly, so, and then keep it moving so it doesn't scramble on impact. Now we're going in, I hope.
It's got a good slop to it.
Good slop. Pan is at a good temperature, so I'm happy with that. Yeah, that's perfect. Look at that. Let's get rid of my hot water.
It was hot about 10 minutes ago.
And then next trick is a ladle. Bit of pecorino to finish, and it's as simple as that.
Beautiful.
The thought of having to cook after a long day can be... Our Meal Packs app can change this. First, pick a meal pack. Meal packs contain three or more recipes that make you go, whoa, I want to eat that. These will be your meals for the week. It then generates one shopping list. And this is the clever bit. It stretches that list of ingredients across all those meals, using up all the fresh food you buy. Once you've bought your ingredients, we take you step by step through the cooking with written and audio guides.
Fry for 7 to 8 minutes.
Throw in automatic timers, smartly placed cues to wash up as you go, and twists from other users so you can adapt recipes to suit your tastes. And you can join the thousands of people changing this into this. Use our 30-day free trial to complete just one meal pack and you'll see the difference for yourself.
Ebba, taken any tips from Baz? Or are you still confident in what you were doing?
Very, very similar, but I'm going to show you a few things that we think make it super simple. If you haven't got the knack to do it the traditional way, we're going to get there with a few like simpler cheats, some safety nets. The first one being, I'm going to cook it in about 5 centimetres or so of heavily salted water in a large frying pan. That way, all of the strands of spaghetti can go in all at the same time. What you don't get is those bits sticking out that don't quite cook. They cook at 10 or 15% less than the rest of the pasta.
That's weird. That's not right, is it?
What will also happen is because there is less water, you'll actually get more starch into it, which means when you make your sauce at the end, you get even more of that richness. Every pasta cook will tell you to make sure it's rapidly boiling as well. I'm not going to bother, because if you're cooking quickly, then actually all you need to do is rehydrate the pasta and then cook it. You don't necessarily need the absolute heat from the very first second.
No, I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable standing next to you in that kitchen. I'm going to stand here from now on, because that's, you've gone too far there, Ben.
So, Ebbers, what you haven't explained is what pasta are you using?
I'm using dried spaghetti. So there is also this perception that fresh pasta is better. I think for some things, 100% it is. For this dish, no, use a good dried pasta. In the grand scheme of this dish, I think spend the money on quality eggs and quality cheese and quality pancetta. The pasta can be pretty basic. Don't be shy of the pasta water. You also want a good amount of it in with your pasta. That is well seasoned and gives you all of the safety net now as you're mixing with the pork fat and making that wonderful kind of emulsion around every single strand. Take from a hot pan into your sauce.
Oh.
If you need to cook it out, you can always go back in, but then over a very low heat to cook it out. And don't be afraid of potentially even more pasta water.
Oh, really? Bold.
Ebbers likes it sloppy.
Pass with the people. I'm not swirling mine. I'm just whacking it on the plate. Don't over garnish, but a little more parmesan, a little more pecorino, and a little more fresh black pepper. That's mine.
Beautiful.
The safety net of a carbonara.
Right, Mike, in front of you, you have two bowls of carbonara. What we'd like you to do is blind taste test both of them and tell us which one you prefer.
Okay, I'm going to call this A because of right to left as you guys are seeing it. Instantly, cheese. Cheese, 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 cheese.
Mmm. Slurp, slurp.
Oh, that is delicious. The pasta has a lovely bite and feel. Very peppery. That is tasty. I'm getting cheesy. I'm getting saucy. Sometimes if you don't do a carbonara right, it's almost a bit dry. I'm getting the silkiness. I'm getting a bacon fatty flavour. Oh, that pepper is punchalicious.
Move on to B. See if there's any differences.
Hmm. Oh, the pasta is even more al dente. Oh, it's different. Creamier, much creamier. Cheesier, less peppery. In A, the bacony fattiness goes throughout the entire of the dish. Whereas B, you kind of need to get the meat in the mouthful to experience the true flavour, and then it's completely different. Right, it's absolutely delicious. Slightly creamier and saltier, slightly more subtle, and the pepper is amazing in that one. This is so hard. They are both incredible.
What I would say, great palate.
Really good.
He's
palate.
Picked out pretty much all the differences.
Yeah.
For good and for bad.
I think my favourite is A.
Remove your blindfold.
Oh, they look this. Oh no, this is thicker.
So Mike, I can reveal you picked A, and A was cooked by. Just wait for the tense music to build up. Camera shots back and forth. The chefs.
Well played.
One for Ebbers.
The challenge here is it's not necessarily the most traditional, but arguably the easiest.
I was baffled.
In the UK.
When I picked that, I genuinely thought that was the normals plate, which is why I was like, oh, we're giving another one to the normals. Honestly, both exceptional. That was my favourite. You need to grab a bowl and get in. Come on, Em.
Thank you very much.
Right, you got some. Half and half in each bowl.
Okay.
See what you think, guys.
Actually, that pepper is everything. You've got that warmth. Toasting your pepper corns off and using a pestle and mortar. Nice little touch.
Well, they are two very good dishes.
Mm.
Well, as someone who has previously started an international incident based on cooking a traditional dish from another country,
No. You'll
notice that I haven't offered an opinion on which one my favourite is. So there are three British idiots' opinions on what makes the best carbonara. But we'd love to know from you, are they right? Would you go traditional? Would you use Ebba's tips? Would you use your own? Comment down below, let us know.
And we'll put the recipes in the link down below so you can go and try the details of either one or combine the two or do it your way.
Do you think that maybe this was the best one? It was just because Barry made it.
It could have been that. But I hope you all
comment
enjoyed.
Down below, let us know. Mike usually avoids carbs in normal life.
And cheese.
Oh, not
and
since getting married, mate.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's what it is.
Nah, she's locked in.